we present Babblewick Hall by Scott Cherry. Starring Nicholas Le Prevost and Forbes Mathen.
Grant us this, O Lord. Amen. And bless us all this and every day. Amen. Now, those of you from the village of Babblewick know that I often speak to you of the dangers of worldly lust.
Dear.
Exactly.
I've tried to alert you. I've tried to awaken you. I have warned you to keep your very eyes open to... Perhaps a member of the congregation would care to wake the squire up.
Squire! Sorry, everyone.
It's all right, squire.
Forgive me.
Now, I have warned you...
Please, forgive me.
You're forgiven, squire.
Thank you, pardon.
Now, I have warned you all to keep your eyes open to the dangers of the bodily appetites.
Ah, yes, please.
I have shared with you many a time, standing in this pulpit, the nature of my own dreaded afflictions. Not a night goes by, my brother, without me sweating into my blankets as I dream of blue-eyed, big-bodied milkmaids. I deserve to be hanged, I know.
Aye.
But don't fret yourselves. I'll save you from knowing what happens next.
Oh, no.
No.
Tell us, Pastor, or I'll go home and kick a bucket.
Oh, very well. In my vile, disgusting, loathsome imaginings, I kneel down before these milkmaids. Yes. And I touch their knees.
Oh.
I pull off their clogs.
Oh.
And I dally with their ankles.
Oh.
Whilst dressed in my high-collared cassock and not much else.
No. Oh.
I'm so sorry, I really am.
Oh, hello, Squire.
Please forgive me for being asleep at the start of the sermon.
Don't let it slip.
And I just want to say, what an invigorating sermon that was.
Oh, thank you.
Squire, your coat is ready.
You know, I have to say I find such an address most fatiguing.
Sir!
Why is man subject to the base impulses of the flesh, passing flesh? Why are we driven into such a frenzy at the sight of a pretty petticoat, or a...
Shapely neck.
Indeed.
Oh, my dear sir, passion in man is like cholera in a pig. As I was just saying to Mrs. Blunstone. Oh, poor lady.
I'm sorry, who?
Mrs. Blunstone.
Sir, please. Jack is having trouble retaining the horses. We must go.
Tell him to wait, Augustus.
That's Mrs. Blunstone over there, dressed in black. She's just come from London with her daughter. As you can see, the daughter is the most exquisite creature.
Pardon, please.
Here she comes.
We meet again, sir.
Yes, indeed we do. And may I introduce you, madam, to the new squire of Babblewick?
Oh.
Dear lady, I consider it an honor.
Oh, we've heard of you, sir. The squire of Babblewick Hall. Oh, yes. Are you not a renowned agricultural reformer?
Modesty forbids, madam.
But have you not achieved great things with the turnip?
Well, I...
Please, permit me to introduce my daughter. Lucinda.
Madam, I consider it the greatest honor.
Forgive me, squire, but Jack says if you don't come now, he'll leave without you. He has an urgent cockfight to attend in Keithley's barn.
Sir? Oh.
Sir?
Oh, Lucinda.
Squire?
He's fainted.
Oh. What's the matter, sir?
Oh, I have a pain, Augustus. Just here. Oh,
well, I'm sorry, but I can't nurse you in your staircase wig if you don't get out of your bed.
Pull up that chair, sit down. I have an announcement to make.
What?
As my esteemed valet de chambre, I feel you have a right to know the precise and particular nature of my malady.
Malady?
I have an illness which admits of no cure. What I have, Augustus, can only be termed as a great and glorious affliction.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Oh, no, no.
I suffer but a sweet, sweet sickness.
Please, please, please. Don't tell me you're in love, Squire.
I'm in love.
Oh.
For the first time in my life, I have met a woman to set my soul a-singing with the angels.
Really?
Her name's Lucinda Blundstone.
No.
Well, you must have seen her at church yesterday.
No, sir, no.
I beg your pardon. You promised you would never, ever fall in love again.
Again?
If my memory serves, you have fallen in love no less than 43 times.
Never.
It was the one good thing I'd hoped for. If we leave London, I said to myself, and live among the half-wits of the North, at least my master would fall in love with every Piccadilly harlot he glimpses through his coffee-house window.
I've never fallen in love with Piccadilly harlots.
Then what about Amanda Lovelight?
Died.
Rebecca Cordy, Vanessa Mapperton.
And, of course, the unforgettable Miss Lavinia Cutesniff.
Who?
Was it not, sir, the divine Miss Cutesniff that sent you into such hectic paroxysms of desire that you ran onto the stage of a London theatre, drunk, dressed only in knee boots?
Wasn't that Drury Lane?
Garrick was in the middle of a Hamlet soliloquy.
Ah. And you hadn't even met the lady! You'd heard of her from your card-playing friends and just wanted to bed her before they did.
My dear servant, these women you name were but baubles. Momentary infatuation.
Oh, I agree.
Whereas this creature... Augustus, I'm going to do all I can to make Lucinda Blundstone my wife.
It's so kind of you to visit us, Squire.
Well, not at all, Mrs. Blundstone, not at all.
Lucinda will be joining us shortly from her private prayers.
Oh, yes.
Mochi!
Oh, thank you. You were saying that since returning to Yorkshire, you've been unable to take visitors.
Well, sir, what am I to do?
I'm sorry?
When every man that seeks our company is so intent on seducing and debauching my poor innocent daughter.
Surely not, I...
Mr. Babelwick, after my husband died, leaving us penniless, with nothing to reach for but cold pockets, we spent 2 years in London, where I sought desperately to find a decent, honest husband for Lucinda.
And did you?
Sir, whenever my darling girl promenaded the Vauxhall Gardens, men would fly at her like so many bees attacking the first flower of spring, buzzing all manner of entreaties and flatteries. It was quite clear what they were after.
Her honey.
Exactly. I have left that frenzied world, good sir, in order to protect my girl from such predators. We may well be in debt to the tune of 300 guineas, but I shall never, ever sell my girl to some rich merchant or tradesman who merely wishes to desecrate her with the fury of his passion.
Oh, no.
Should Lucinda find a husband, I can assure you he will be a devout Bible-reading Christian.
I see.
Moti.
Oh, thank you.
Do you know your Bible, Mr. Bubblewick?
Well, dear lady, I was about to tell you. The good book never leaves my side.
Oh.
I've read it cover to cover less than five times.
Oh, Mr. Bubbles, if only all men have your character.
Well,
if only my Lucinda could meet one such as you, your wife should consider herself a very fortunate lady.
Mrs. Dunstan, I am not married.
You're not?
No.
Oh. I see.
Oh.
Squire.
Oh.
Sir, you seem somewhat vermilion. Is it the gout?
No, my dear lady. It's not the gout.
Is it the constipation or the dropsy?
No.
You're set to explode. Here, for heaven's sake, take more tea.
I could contain myself no longer.
Good sir.
Mrs. Blundstone, I love your daughter. I want her for my wife. Please, let me marry her. Please. I can't bear to think she might wed some base, lascivious monster for the sake of 300 guineas. You must marry her to me. I have such a swelling, Mrs. Blundstone.
Oh, Mr. Bubblewick. Lucinda.
Mama?
Lucinda. Oh.
fainted again. You're getting married!
I have made my proposal, and my proposal has been accepted upon certain conditions.
Oh, I see. And may I ask, as your humble lackey, what those conditions are?
That I never raise my voice to my darling Lucinda.
Mm-hmm.
That I join her in prayers for 3 hours of every day.
I see.
And that I give over the entire Babelwick estate to the United Free Church of Armino-Glassite Sandemanian Methodism.
What?
Then Babelwick Hall will become a college for the education of our church's ministers.
Our church?
Yes.
Then you've become a Methodist too?
No. An Armino-Glassite
Sandemanian.
Exactly. Augustus, where are you going?
You have finally let slip the reins of sanity. I'm leaving you, sir.
You must dress me.
Dress yourself.
But they'll be here in a minute.
Who will?
But Mrs. Bunstone and Lucinda, hurry. I'll have my black waistcoat, black breeches, black riding boots and black neckcloth.
You haven't got a black neckcloth.
Well, get one. I must shun all vanity and conceit if I'm to lead my sweet along the spiritual path. Well, don't just stand a man. Where are they now?
On the way down.
Oh, no. What are they coming down to the kitchen for?
Molly!
Mrs. Bluntstone has expressed a desire to see the servants.
Oh, why?
With a view to getting rid of us. Who knows?
Oh, no.
Be on your best behavior, or we'll be thrown out to scarecrows and dig ditches.
Oh.
Ah, there you are.
Quiet.
Here, ladies.
Thank you, sir.
I see. So this is the scullery, is it, Phantom?
Indeed. Allow me to acquaint you with my servants. May I introduce to all Mrs. Harriet Bluntstone.
Now,
my wife-to-be, Miss Lucinda Bluntstone.
Good day.
Excuse me, but is that a cat?
Yes, ma'am. It's Satan.
What?
I rescued him from Brook when he went out for kitten.
And does it always sit in the milk pan?
No, ma'am. It usually sleeps in lather on the meat.
The meat?
Keeps off the rats.
Oh. Enjoying your pea broth, ladies?
No, Fenton, we're not.
Oh, no.
It's far too heavy with salt. Wouldn't you agree, Lucinda?
Yes, Mama.
Augustus.
Sir?
Take a pose away.
Sir?
And when you're down in the kitchen, chastise Molly most severely for ruining broth. It's heavy with salt. Our spoons have been snapping.
Tasted of the sea.
Tell Molly it tasted so like a sea we didn't know whether to eat it or bathe it.
Of course, sir.
I'm sorry, ladies, at least finish your bread. Made from my own wheat. Sweet, nourishing, not like the chalk they sell for bread in London. Bread, madam?
Sir, we would prefer to sit in silence for a moment.
Of course.
After all, is it not said in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers?
Yes. Yes, I think it is. Ah, Augustus, food, a buck of beef.
Yes, Squire. And as you can see, it's a rather large buttock.
Excellent.
But the first thing to be done is throw out the servants.
What?
Even though God would ask me to tolerate the faults and frailties of others and to resist all judgment, I have to say, your cook looks sluttish. Your gardener's simple, and the old man.
But Jack, my groom and yard boy.
I doubt if a more sour-faced, miserable old decrepit ever threw a saddle or buckled a stirrup. And as for this gentleman here.
Yes?
Lucinda?
Mama?
Have you ever seen such a fantastical curiosity in all your life?
Never.
I'm sorry?
Might I ask what it is you think you look like exactly?
Are you addressing me, madam?
Lucinda and I were saying that when the marriage articles are drawn, the first thing you must do, Fenton, is dismiss your frightful manservant.
What?
It's preposterous letting a mere footman dressed as a duke.
Ah, excuse me, madam. I am not a footman. I am a valet de chambre. A gentleman.
Conceit in a servant, sir, is doubly sinful. You should know that, Benton.
Oh, yes, of course.
How on earth could you do God's work if you allow yourself to be attended by this mincing macaroni?
Ah.
Look at your man. Your wig's higher than a steeple. Your buttons and buckles bigger than these plates. And as for your coat, is it green, red or yellow?
Well, it's...
I don't think I've ever, all my days, seen such a vile parade of colour. You'd make a peacock blush.
It might help, Augustus, if you didn't cover your hair in quite so much blue powder.
At least, mother, at least I make an effort to be pleasing to the eye, which is clearly more than can be said for you.
What?
Have you dressed yourself in a tablecloth, or is it perhaps an old pantry curtain?
Death.
I'm sorry, sir, but if there's one thing that gives me comfort in this miserable little life, it's my immaculate sense of dress and fine figure. And for this hulk in daffodil to sit there and make me the victim of her persecutions, when she clearly has less fashion sense than a lumpen ox.
That's enough, Augustus, and will you please leave the room?
Oh, of course, sir, I will leave you to discuss your newfound religion, and I can only hope that your wife-to-be fails to realize you are marrying her because she is the rather giddy possessor of a ridiculously abundant the bosom.
How dare you?
Good day. Please, do go.
This way, Lucinda. Mama.
Mrs. Bluston. Lucinda, I'll do anything. Please, how can I make amends for my valet's appalling insolence?
Have him horsewhipped.
Well, consider it done.
Starve him for a week.
I'll starve him for a month. Ladies, please, I'll do anything.
Very well, sir. If you are to have any prospect of marrying my darling girl, then dismiss your valet. Cast him out, penniless, without credentials and without food. If you wish to cure a dandy of conceit, you have to make him suffer the agonies of an empty stomach and the indignities of the open road. Well, sir, will you dismiss him, or is the wedding to be cancelled?
Oh, sir.
Oh, sir.
Goodbye, Mr. Snipe.
Goodbye, Barney.
I've wrapped you up a little food in this muslin, Mr. Snipe.
Oh, thank you.
Raspberry cakes, dry apricots, and a little buttock of beef. Here's some rosemary and lavender as well, in case all the walking brings on a fever.
Why don't you take a horse, at least to the nearest town?
No, no, Jack, I'll walk. It's only some 30 miles.
Oh, but Mr. Snipe, think of your heels.
Oh, hello, Squire.
You're still here?
I'm just about to leave. My trunk's packed. I'll be able to send for it as soon as I find a new employer.
Of course.
Well, then, I'd better go and sweep the yard before I get dismissed at all.
I'll come with you, Jack. I'll just go and pick some horseradish for the fish sauce.
Fish sauce?
For this evening's supper.
But I don't like fish.
What a shame.
Well, Augustus, Squire, you brought this on yourself, you know.
I agree.
I hear there's a fair in Wakefield.
I'm sure some gentleman or other will pick me from the line. If not, I can always bark. In the hope that someone will take me on as a house dog.
Of course.
Sir, if you marry Miss Bluntstone, her mother will make your life, Augustus, an unendurable hell!
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Squire.
Ah, yes, Fenton.
Harriet?
If the wedding is to be this Friday, we need to discuss the changes we're going to make to Babblewick Hall.
Changes?
And by the way, we think you should mortgage the entire estate. Fenton? Fenton, are you listening? Don't tell me you're missing that dreadful servant.
Harriet, I hope you won't think me improper if I ask this.
Yes?
You must agree my behaviour towards Lucinda has been nothing less than exemplary.
Yes?
I have engaged in no familiarity, taken no liberty, and have exchanged no more than the occasional glance. Isn't that true, Lucinda?
Yes, I'm glad to hear it.
But please, please allow us just a few moments together.
What? Are you suggesting that I leave the two of you?
We're tying the matrimonial knot in 2 days' time, and we've barely conversed.
You know I forbid my girl to speak. There's no chastity, sir, in words.
A few precious minutes is all I ask. I beg of you.
Lucinda, do you wish to be left alone with your future husband?
Yes, Mama.
Oh.
Very well.
Oh.
If be so much as holds your hand, you must scream, my dear.
Oh, yes, Mama.
I shall stand just over here by the shrubbery.
Oh.
What?
That seems rather close.
Then I shall stand here.
Oh, madam, please.
Really, sir, I'm beginning to doubt the decency of your character.
Well, sit yourself there. By the dovecot. Yes, that's it.
A few minutes, that's all.
Oh, at last. Lucinda, Lucinda, Lucinda.
Oh,
we have been able to speak, but your radiant, luminous beauty expresses so much to me. Your eyes, the shining brilliance of your eyes tells me of the peerless splendor of your soul and spirit. Your mouth, oh, those sweet, ripe, pleasing, tender lips whisper, I am yours, I am yours, take me, I am yours. Oh, speak to me, my darling, speak to me of love, and speak to me of longing. Speak, my goddess.
Gee, I love it when you talk all romantic, you know. It makes my tummy go all tingly.
Does it?
Now, look, Fenton. When we're married, I want 6 footmen in livery. And now, steward, a language teacher, so that I can smack a French over breakfast. 3 ladies-in-waiting, 2 maids, a dance master, and a milliner. Oh, and don't think we're going to be sleeping in the same bedchamber, because we're not. I'll let you lie on me once every other month. But I'm telling you now, I'll be keeping my chemise on. There's no way we're rubbing skins, understood?
This is all we have left. Now, just because they're a sunny side, we have an apprentice coal, even of 62. Oh. A lame confectioner of 47. And, what did you say you were?
A gentleman's valet de chambre.
A Scotch gentleman's valet de chambre. Scottish.
Oh. Valet de chambre.
And how old did you say you were?
19.
Of 19.
I'll take the valet de chambre.
You what?
I said I'll take the valet de chambre, providing he can handle a peruke. Senator, can you dress a wig?
When you say wig, sir, are you referring to the a long peruke?
No.
The full dress, full bottom? The bag? The Lexonic, the Corinthian, the Ethereum, the Aldermanic, the Natural, the Rally, the Patrick, the Sector, the Conqueror, or the Star.
Consider yourself employed!
Yes. Do you reckon this is the front of the wig, Barney, or the back?
I don't know.
I don't care. I'm not going to wear it.
But, Squire, you've got to get dressed. It's your wedding day.
Listen to the bells. Open the window, Barney.
Right.
You've got 2 hours to get to the church.
Stand up, and I'll try and get into your shirt.
Oh, why am I marrying Miss Bloodstone? Why?
She's pretty.
You want me to sell off the land, kick out the farmers, appoint new servants, spend 6 months of a year in a townhouse. Barney, what are you doing?
Buttoning on your shirt.
But it's back to front door at all.
Why has it gone so dark? Oh, God, I can't see. I've gone blind.
It's your wig, sir.
What? Well, take it off. What have you done to it?
I don't know where Mr. Snipe put your powder. So we've sprinkled it with some of Molly's flour.
I want Augustus. Where is it?
That's the end of it, Sonia.
Thank you. Oh, I'll just get your greatcoat. I think I've managed to remove those old snuff marks from the sleeve.
You know, Augustus, I can't tell you what it means to me to have a manservant again.
Oh.
And one of your quality, too.
May I ask, sir, why you've been without servants this past 2 years?
Oh, well, there was a time when I was a comfortable Nottinghamshire squire, living up 300 a year, much loved by my tenants, doted on by my domestics, but...
Sir?
I fell in love, Augustus, with a woman whose beauty exceeded all imagining.
Would you like the service to begin, Squire?
What?
I said, would you like the service to begin?
Oh,
yes, you would, Parson Flinch. Please proceed. Lucinda and I are beginning to lose patience, aren't we, my dear?
Yes, Mama.
Could I ask you all to take a seat in the pews as the ceremony is about to commence? Now, you may all be wondering why I've taken down the pulpit cloth, hit the brass, and dressed myself in a white smock. Yes, it's because this marriage service will be conducted according to the tenets of
Sandy...
Sandemanian.
Sandemanian.
Armenoglassite.
Armenoglassite.
Methodism.
Yes. The service will be conducted according to the tenets of Sandemanian Armenoglassite Methodism, which... which... means that the whole of the service, no one is permitted to smile.
Yes.
Once the service is over, I will be sermonizing to you all, especially the squire and his young bride, on the dangers of worldly lust.
Oh.
And I will, of course, illustrate by revealing to you my own despicable cravings.
French, please.
Oh, sorry, ma'am. Now, are you French and George Obadiah Babberwick?
Are you?
Mm. And are you Lucinda, Joanna, Letitia, Lavinia, Amelia, Blundstone?
Yes, I am.
No, she isn't.
What?
Stop the service! That woman's name is not Lucinda, Joanna, Letitia, Lavinia, Amelia, Blundstone.
Her real name is Lucinda Joanna Letitia Lavinia Amelia Hartz.
Mm. And she is my wife.
Oh. What?
That's right, Squire.
And who, sir, are you?
Don't pretend you don't know me. You and this slattern of a daughter preyed on me the same way you've preyed on this poor unfortunate gentleman.
What are you talking about?
Mr. Babberwick?
Yes?
These women tour the country pretending to be nothing but poor Methodists, snaring men and then demanding money.
How dare you? Don't listen to him, Benton.
It's true. I've met four men who married you. Four others whose lives you willfully ruined. The only way they could get rid of you was to hand over their fortunes.
That, sir, is a malicious slander.
Well, tell them that. Come in, good sir.
What?
Lucinda!
Oh, my dear. Oh, my mom!
Oh, my God.
They've all fainted.
Augustus, please! Stop!
I can't, sir.
Why, never not?
My master is waiting in his carriage.
But I'm your master.
I beg your pardon? Aren't I? Have you forgotten, Squire, how you cast me out, spun me homeless into the night, leaving me to walk some 30 miles with nothing but 3 guineas in my pocket?
Augustus, I beg of you. I can't let Barney and Jack dress me. Look at me. It took them half an hour just to knot my solitaire tie.
Oh, oh. It does look somewhat crooked.
Augustus! Augustus! We really must be going if we're to make London by tomorrow evening.
London?
Yes, sir. I'm to escape the barbarity of the North at last.
You see, back to civilization and the world of cushion chairs and carpets, eh? Away from the cold, the animals, and the disgusting filth. Augustus, please. Please stay.
Oh. Augustus?
Well.
Augustus?
London really is the only place where anyone with refined, fashionable tastes can live.
Exactly.
But then, I suppose something might be said for Molly's rabbit stew, egg pie, and gooseberry tart.
Babblewick Hall starred Nicholas de Prevost as
Fenton Babblewick
and Forbes Masson as
Augustus Snape.
With Sam Kelly, Gillian Bevan, David Antrobus, Morris Denham, Elizabeth Spriggs, Tracy Bennett, David Timpson, and Jeffrey Whitehead. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. Babblewick Hall is written by Scott Cherry and produced by Paul Schlesinger.